Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. John Stanton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. John Stanton has worked in the marketplace for many years, helping companies put their best foot forward. He is currently a professor at St. Joseph University in Pennsylvania, nearer to Philadelphia, I guess I should say. And he has written a number of books on customer service, including Success Leaves Clues, including Delight Me, the Ten Commandments of Customer Service, which is one of my favorites. And he's one of our longtime Brain Trust members. John Stanton, welcome back to the show.
It is always nice to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back, and it's always a pleasure. John, you just got back from a little trip across the pond, didn't you?
Yeah, I was over in Saudi Arabia. And I was working with a business person over there, a small business, really, and, just trying to do the same things that your listeners are doing in their hometowns. He's trying to get it done over there. And
right.
I think sometimes we, because of the political things that go on, we forget that as small business owners, we kind of have a bond that goes beyond a lot of political issues.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has, the same problem of finding customers and the same problems of finding financing and all of these things. And he gets up every day and says, "How am I going to do it?" And
making payroll on Friday.
Payroll on Friday, and it's just we tend to think maybe that people in countries like that. We have a vision of what we get from the media, and of course it's not really interesting to do a story on a guy that's just like everyone else in the small business world, so that stuff doesn't make the news.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're able to bring some information and perspective back from over there. One of the things that I like to do whenever I go abroad, whenever our Brain Trust members go abroad, I like to talk to the audience about that because and of course, as you know, we have people listening all over the world on the internet right now. So when we say abroad, it could be them coming to the United States, but the thing that I like to point out is just what you said. If you're a small business owner, if you're in Bangor, Maine, or Bangladesh, you got very similar challenges in a lot of ways. In some ways, you got extra challenges. I mean, some parts of the world I visited with people from South Africa about a little over a year ago, and they had some extra challenges because they didn't have access to the technology that we do. But tell us a little bit about what you found when you went to Saudi Arabia. You don't have to tell us the name of the company or the individuals, but I wouldn't mind if you told us the industry that this guy's in and what you found when you got there.
Well, he's in the food distribution business. And first of all, I have to say that to all the listeners, if you want to learn, you really want to have a good political discussion, the best thing to do is talk to taxi drivers. I find that they know more about the world than the people running the countries all over the world. But I always have a conversation with taxi drivers.
Were you in Riyadh, John?
No, I was in Jeddah.
Jeddah, uh-huh.
Jeddah, and that's a little little out of the way there from
right.
the major political issues.
It's over on the Red Sea coast. There,
it's on the Red Sea, and it's really quite a beautiful city. And,
one of the three holy cities.
Yes, it is. Mecca is only about 50 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that this guy has to do is the same things that everyone else does. As a matter of fact, we were sitting in the first meeting, and we were talking about planning. And the problem that he has is he really doesn't write a plan. And he started giving the reasons for why he doesn't, you know, doesn't really do any formal planning in his business. And I'm sitting there, like, hitting myself on the head, saying, yeah, you know, these are exactly the same arguments that I've heard sitting in a around the table in the U.S. I mean, almost word for word. And, you know, well, they don't have the time, and things change in this world. Why plan if everything changes? And, you know, we all in the room, all the management, understand what our objectives and goals are.
John, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got more to come. We're finding out, aren't we, that small businesses are not that different, regardless of where they are in the world. We're going to learn more about this company in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, right after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with John Stanton.
She rules her life like a bird in flight.
We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Ernie Robson, who's a new friend, and Jared Lipworth, who's an old friend, are going to join us. And we're going to talk about this brain fingerprinting thing that's going to be on PBS tonight. It's a new technology that I think you'll find interesting, and I believe we'll probably be able to weave some small business applications into this, and that's coming up at the top of the next hour. And then after that, Peter Meyer is going to help us create and dominate new markets for our small business. Right now, we're visiting with our good friend John Stanton. And John, before we go any further, folks, we were talking about Saudi Arabia, and I said something a minute ago that wasn't quite accurate. I said that Jeddah was one of the three holy cities. That's not true, and I know that. I just misspoke. Jeddah is hard by to Mecca, which is one of the holy cities, John, as you know, and so is and the other two are Medina and Jerusalem. So those are the actual three holy cities, but Jeddah is the big place near to Mecca, isn't it?
I would just mention to the listeners, doesn't have much to do with small business, but I was fascinated by it. When you land in Jeddah, it is an enormous airport. I mean, it's as much taxiway and runway that I mean, bigger than the, you know, Kennedy up in New York. And I thought, there's like two airplanes here. But what it is during the holy month of Hajj,
right,
when all the people are coming, they say that these 747s are coming in like the Berlin airdrop,
wow,
airlift, one after another, just lined up to come in.
For the annual pilgrimage into Mecca.
That's right.
Yeah.
The pilgrimage that is part of the, that every Muslim must take one pilgrimage in his life.
If it's possible, they recommend, they certainly encourage that. Well, all right. So now you're at the conference table. Now, how many employees does this guy have?
This guy has quite a few total employees, but what they are, they're primarily delivery, you know, people that just take product to the stores.
Is this a distribution company or is it a freight company?
This is a distribution company.
So he actually has warehouses and inventory and things like that?
Not a lot, because it's almost just in time.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the ways that they've saved a lot of money, mm-hmm, is taking advantage of it. It is kind of interesting because, you know, to all the listeners, you really need to think about the total cost of doing business, not the cost of individual pieces. He actually discovered that by using faster freight, which was air freight, but not priority air freight, you know, really, as opposed to putting it on boats, although the air freight was more expensive, it cut down his total inventory cost. And that cut down, I mean, not just the cost of the inventory, but the cost of a warehouse, the cost of insurance.
Probably shrinkage, too.
If it's not around, it can't be taken.
That's right. Well, and also, just, you know, the spoilage and shrinkage and spoilage, mm-hmm, and things like that. And he's got happier customers. What's that worth?
That's right. And so he actually discovered that it's better to pay a little more to get it there quicker, but to have, mm-hmm, a system. Yeah, by the way, because this is a food company, he and the way that these distributor contracts work, if things are out of code, they're his costs, not the manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this has led to him really reducing his costs quite a bit, even though his, you know, his transportation costs themselves would be a little bit higher.
Right.
And he's a good businessman, and like all your listeners and, you know, hard worker, you know, we started early in the morning and we finished late at night, and they do have strange hours. One of the things when you go to places like this, they have a long afternoon rest period. And, of course, I'm not used to rest period.
When so I was over there, it was from 1 to 4.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. And
they just go home. They go home and eat and take a nap, don't they?
They go home and eat and take a nap. And I went home and ate and back to the hotel and worked. And then came back. And, of course, they're fresh at 8 o'clock at night. And,
yeah.
And I'm really kind of tired.
So. And, of course, you know why they do that. It's because of the sun.
Sure heat. It is. Their
idea is to avoid the heat, the midday heat.
I reminded them that they now have air conditioning. You know,
but some things run deep, John.
Not that big a problem.
Some things run deep.
You know, that's exactly right, because, you know, I mean, a lot of these things had to do with camels in the hot sun,
uh-huh.
And I'm saying, you know, they're Porsches you're driving, not camels.
But, you know, talking about the freight, that's a very good lesson. You know, I bet not too many people have said, okay, let me see. If I add up all I'm paying for trucks and warehouse personnel and the warehouse, all my costs for my warehousing and the holding cost of my inventory and all that kind of stuff, if I add all that up and divided that into each unit that I sell, that costs me, you know, 50 cents per unit or $1 a unit or $10 a unit or whatever. And so then you compare that price to what the extra freight would be.
Yep.
You got to do the math on that, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I knew a guy who did something similar in this country. He had like a business that I don't recall that it was mail order, but basically it involved lots of sending things in the mail. And he had to keep some inventory, and, you know, he had to mail this stuff and wrap it and all of this. And he actually went to one of these mailboxes or us,
mm-hmm.
And he made an agreement with them on cost. And he said, look, you're in this mail. People come in at certain times a day, and then the rest of the day you're not busy.
Mm-hmm.
How about if we sign a contract that you can, you know, get my stuff ready to be mailed, but you can do it whenever you have
slack
time.
At your convenience, yeah.
And he got a terrific price for this.
Huh. I'll be darned. John, hold on to that thought. We got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to find out some more about what specifically John recommended to this Saudi Arabian small business owner. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with John Stanton, the author of Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service.
When you're down,
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. John Stanton is our guest, and he's the author, along with Richard George, of a couple of books that I know about, Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service, and Success Leaves Clues, Practical Tools for Effective Sales and Marketing. John, how can we find your books?
The best way to find it is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the online book companies.
All right. So check out John. Type John Stanton in any of their search engines, and you'll find his and George's and Richard George's books.
You can get them at your local bookstore, but they just order them, and so they're doing the same thing you're doing as going on the internet.
Go to the place where you can get a good price. And John, what about your Saudi Arabian customer over in Jeddah? What did you recommend that he do? What were some of the things that you thought he should start doing?
Well, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but it's the same advice I give small business owners here in the United States. As much as all small business people hate to sit down and write a plan, because they want to get up and they want to do something. They want to call on a customer. They want to take action.
Mm-hmm.
It's to sit down and write a plan, and to go through the process just like it says in the books that they can read step by step. By the way, I also have a book called How to Prepare and Write the Annual Marketing Plan.
Mm.
And that's published by Hayworth, but it's available online as well.
Okay.
And you know, to go through the process, and I'll tell you an interesting story. The first step in any plan, of course, is to have goals and objectives. And one of the things that every small owner says, well, you don't understand, my world changes so fast, I can't be strapped by these kinds of things. And I remember a guy in Ireland, actually, when we said you have to have goals and objectives. He said, we have these. He said, you know what we call them? Our North Star. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you know, when a seaman is lost at sea and they're being tossed and turned by the sea, etc., they can always find their way back home if they can find their North Star. And they said, in our business, you know, things happen every day. We get deals. We're running around in a frenzy. And it said, once in a while, we have to stop and said, where are we trying to get to here? And they pull out those objectives and goals, and they say, that's what gives sanity. That's what brings us back home mm-hmm. when things are crazy. So it's interesting that when you're in a hectic, constant changing world, goals become more important, not less important. And you know, what are you really trying to do? Are you really focused? Are you jumping at every opportunity that comes up? Jim, I found that people that don't have a core sense of what they're trying to do and what it is that they can do, but rather respond to every opportunity that comes up, generally aren't in business for a long time.
You've got to be able to identify and define your core competencies and the real reason why you're doing what you're doing. As the guy said from Ireland, the North Star.
Yep. So that's the first thing I do. And I say the second thing is write your plan down. In a small business, actually, as a financial institution in Boston one time, there were three owners, and they said, you know, we don't need to write it down. We all know what we're trying to accomplish. And I said, well, you're probably right, but before I go home, just each of you write down where you think your business will be, what will it be like 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Three entirely different answers.
Right.
And so the second thing we try and do is get them to write the plan.
All right, I got about 40 seconds.
And really, that's the advice for all of us is, no matter what we're doing, is, you know, write down the plan, write down your goals and objectives, and put into place a real operational written plan.
It's amazing how something will impact you when it's looking back at you from a sheet of paper, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. You just try this. Every single listener say, okay, here's my strategy. You know, you have it in your head. Now try and put it on paper. If it takes you less than about 10 minutes, I'd be surprised.
Right.
You all know what it is. Try writing it down.
Right.
Yep.
Well said, John. And I really am glad that you. One of the things that we've learned is that the challenges of small business owners are the same wherever you are. And you've got brethren and sistren all over the world.
Yep.
Wherever you are, you got somebody on the other side of the world who's got the same kind of challenges, and the solutions are the same too, aren't they, John?
Yeah, that's what's amazing.
Basically, the same.
Yep. The tactics might be different, but the strategies are all the same.
Thanks, John Stanton, for being here today. Good job, as always. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
John Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Delight Me. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.